Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's charitable foundation is called Sharing Change and is funded by members who round up their electric bills to the nearest dollar each month as a donation and support hundreds of nonprofits. Find out more at sharingchange.org. State Representative Mike Sparks joins us here in studio this morning, and lots to catch up on, and we're going to maybe talk about music therapy here in just a second.
But, yes.
You were telling me about some legislation.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all covering it. Scott did a great job on our illegal street racing task force that we passed at the one of the last days of Tennessee Journalists Assembly. It's a big, huge issue in Memphis and Nashville, more so in Memphis. I mean, Memphis, you know, number one in crime. I mean, the stats are alarming with the problems in Memphis. But it's also illegal street racing been a big problem in on I-24, and folks that travel that corridor can attest to people driving, acting up. But we did pass that. It was bipartisan. Representative Jason Powell out of Davidson County had asked me to carry it, and we just kind of partnered up. But we end up calling the legislation the Jake Barnhart Act, after an Army combat medic, Jake Barnhart, who was killed. He was only 34 years old, killed by an illegal street racer, and the guy was going over 100 miles an hour. So good bipartisan legislation. Pull people together, and it's a task force of 17 members, and Murfreesboro is included in that. And if folks want more information, just call my office, 741-6829, if it's a issue you're very passionate about. And we got to do something to try to slow some of these folks down. And, you know, as a lawmaker, I don't want to see us take people's vehicles, and that's probably what's going to end up happening for people that are repeat offenders. These vehicles get very pricey, and folks, it was, you know, the General Assembly sometimes has a lot of chaos, and in case in point, Brian, literally while I'm passing this bill with a Democrat standing beside me, Jason Powell, and I had several people come to the well and stand with me, because this is a big issue for a lot of these other members across state, a fight breaks out on the House floor, and I'm trying to kind of look at the fight. I mean, it was two lawmakers out of Memphis, and they didn't throw no punches or anything, but they almost did. And I'm like, do I stop the legislation to look at the fight, or do I just keep running the legislation while the fight's going on? And so they're over, you know, getting loud, everybody's looking, and it usually doesn't happen that on every piece of legislation. It just so happened on my bill. And while I'm running this legislation, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to throw some little humor in here. And I was a little worried, because it's humor. You got to be careful with humor. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, I've seen the fight breaking out. And
you tell a dad joke or something?
Well, no. So I'm like, okay, well, the speaker, he never did stop anything or call the sergeant arms or nothing. So I'm running the legislation. And Representative Powell, he's a great guy. You know, he's out of Davidson County. And he gives me these nice accolades, like, thank you for carrying this, Representative Sparks. Well, I just said, in all honesty, this is Powell's idea. Right, Powell, him and I just, you know, talked about this on the floor last year and everything, and we met with THP on it, Colonel Matt Perry, and I just said, you know, the members, you know, he's given me this credit. I said, but truth be told, this is his idea. This is not my idea. It's just my legislation. And, you know, a lot of legislation doesn't come from that member. It comes from the community or teachers or folks in mental health or whatnot or law enforcement. And I just said, every now and then, I said, it just shows that every now and then Democrats can get something right. Every now and then. And then everybody looked at me like, what? And then, you know, people started laughing. But anyways, it was a little odd in the middle of this legislation to have a fight break out. But anyways, we passed it. So thank you, Scott Walker, for the nice coverage of this.
So it creates a task force to look into what to do about it.
Yes,
so
there's brings law enforcement together, brings the major cities, and Murfreesboro is included. So if Shane McFarland's listening, we need you to appoint somebody to this task force. And we included Murfreesboro because of Rutherford County, but Memphis, Chattanooga, Clarksville, and and Nashville. And like I say, it's a big problem. Just people driving crazy and not even racing. You'll see somebody go from the HOV lane to this what I call the slow lane, and then cut right back over to the HOV lane. And if folks drive to Nashville or drive on I-24, they see it, or even Murfreesboro Road, you see the craziness. But anyways, just want to say thank you for y'all posting on the website.
Well, I know we're going to talk music therapy here in a second, but any chance of doing anything with all the potholes on 24 and 840?
Now, why you got to put me on the spot like that?
I just throw it out there.
I did talk to the commissioner.
840 is horrible.
I mean, 840?
Yeah.
I haven't been on 840 in
to drive 840 from, say, Sulphur Springs past 24. There's some really, really rough areas on that.
Well, they're going to be getting to that, but I did meet with the commissioner here a while back. And great guy. And I hit a Home Depot bucket was in the road in the HOV lane, which I drove it after hours, that's, you can drive it after six. And I seen the bucket, and I mean, I couldn't really dodge it because I had a car to my right and the wall to my left. So I hit that Home Depot bucket, and I had to pull over, and bucket's like literally stuck underneath my car. This was a couple months ago, and I had to go get on the side of the asphalt to get it to pull it out, and it tore up my car, tore up the front end. But even Charlie Baum, it was funny in committee and finance, Charlie, I thought he knew about my situation. And Charlie brings up to the commissioner, he says, is there any way we can get some of this debris cleaned up on the side of the road? He said, there's one of those, what's them real nice Chase lounges?
The company,
you fold out.
Lazy Boy.
Yeah. So I think there's a Lazy Boy recliner right there at Hickory
Hollow. On 24, yeah.
On 24 that sat there for like a month.
Oh, longer than that.
And I couldn't, because Charlie usually doesn't, Charlie's an economics professor. So, professors and academics are usually, they don't step out too much. You know what I mean? They kind of stay in a certain lane, academic lane is what I call it.
HOV lane?
And so he brings it up, and I was like, I told him later, I said, man, do you know about the Home Depot bucket I hit? And he goes, no. I said, well, I thought that's why you – and he kept ranting on that. And I ranted on the HOV lane for a long time. I think I was upsetting Beth Harwell because I kept griping about it. But it's – and somebody's got an op-ed in there in the Tennessean about it. But yeah, we need to improve that. And have you called? I mean, I'll say something to TDOT too. But if you call TDOT,
well, I mean, they have a pothole hotline. Yes. But apparently, they don't listen to the pothole hotline.
Have y'all posted it though on here? We need to put it on the website.
I mean, that's not the only stretch. I mean, there are lots of state highways and interstates that, and I know that it's the season now that things have warmed up to do paving. Yeah. The cold patch just doesn't do the trick.
But have you been out Jefferson Pike in a while?
I tried to avoid that.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man, it's looking so much better. I went out there to Smyrna Ready Mix with United Way, the young lady you had on the radio last week, Ashley Wenzel.
Mm-hmm.
Wenzel, she invited me to a United Way meeting out there, and man, it looks so much better. I mean, some of it looks to me like it's completed, some of it. Now, they've still got the bridge and the area at Smyrna, but there's a mid portion that looks really good, so it's coming along.
Well, we have kept Andy waiting long enough. I believe he got him here on hold here. What kind of introduce the next topic for the next few minutes?
Well, Andy Talent called me. Commissioner Brad Turner with disabilities had called me, intellectual disabilities with the state had him call me, and I was really impressed with this guy. And I want him to tell the story about music therapy and how he got involved in this. That's legislation I passed this year, trying to bring awareness to mental health and the power of music and the power of writing music. And even I think music and writing music can really help with our third grade reading. And as you've heard me share on this show, what really inspired this was my sister is in the nursing home. She's under hospice care, sadly, and she was singing the song to the words, "Take Me Home, Country Road" by John Denver. And I was really shocked that she knew the words to a song but did not know my name. And I was like, wow. And she knew the words to that "Thank You for Being a Friend" song. And it's really sad, if anybody that's dealt with anybody in hospice care or nursing home. But that's what got me looking at music therapy. And music therapists were in my office this year, and I got talking about my faith and the story of David, you know, having the courage to fight Goliath, and his battles is what gave him encouragement. So adversity is opportunity. But one young man, the only young man that was a music therapist, told me while they were walking out, there's this room about 20 young students, and he said, remember, David was a musician. I never thought about David in the Bible being a musician. So I want to welcome Andy Talent to the show. Andy, how you doing?
How are you guys?
Doing good.
Awesome. Well, good to have you here. Tell me about Second Verses.
Sure. Second Verses, you're talking about music therapy. We actually began out of a pilot program, believe it or not, inside of prison walls. We started a music pilot program at Walker State Prison in Rock Springs, Georgia, to basically teach about the power of music and also teach fundamental songwriting to help the guys be able to express themselves in a healthy way, to be able to, you know, emote again, because you can't really do that much inside a prison and not suffer the consequences for it when it comes to emotions. And so we began that program, and it took off, and we formed a nonprofit, Second Verses. We've been in existence for almost a year and a half, and we've kind of stepped outside of prisons to even start working with in the healthcare areas. We've got a new program called Hope Song, where we pair songwriters with patients that have been diagnosed with cancer to write songs of hope. And then we're also getting back to the music therapy piece that you mentioned, Representative Sparks. We're launching a pilot program here in Chattanooga with memory care patients to use the power of music to basically unlock their mind. And, you know, as Representative Sparks spoke about his history, experiencing that with his sister, my mom is who got me into music. I've been playing piano since I was three, and I learned piano on the piano she had bought about a decade before. And so music's been a part of my life, her life, and she suffered with dementia at the end of her life. And after my dad had passed, she was at our house and did not know me, did not know my kids, my wife. She didn't know where she was, but her eye caught the piano and she started looking at it, and you could tell her mind was trying to do something. And she walked over to it and sat down, and she put her hands up on the keys, and she knew there was something about that. And next thing I know, she's playing like my mom of old.
Wow.
And in that process, the memory fog lifted. She knew who I was. She knew where she was. She knew my kids. She was talking to us. And then the music stopped, and everything went back to the way it was.
Sad.
You know, that is a story that's been told time and time again. I've done an interview with one of the local assisted living facilities here that has a memory care, and every so often they'll have a hymn sing, and uh-huh. people who haven't spoken can all of a sudden sing along with the group to the songs that they remember as a child. So, I mean, it is definitely very powerful and unlocks, you know, just maybe for moments, but it does unlock the fog that they're in.
Yeah. And I mean, that shows you the very real power of music. And so that is behind everything we do, whether it's, you know, engaging with people that their mental faculties are there or their mental faculties aren't there, the body still responds to music. And it's something that I believe we need to look deeper into as a society, because you know, music is everywhere. We have so much music available to us, and if it has power for our mental well-being, I mean, you just have to look around now and see how much we need that in our world. So that's who we are, and that's what we're doing. And
So, Mike, how are you hoping to use the power of music therapy, and what are you hoping to maybe do?
Well, it's funny you ask that question, because I was talking to a guy at the state capitol this morning. I said, man, I'm the least qualified to talk about this issue. I don't have no music ability, no skill sets. But
we've heard.
Well, even my wife told me to quit clapping at church one day. It's sad. But but you know, I see so much brokenness, man. I often use the term butthurt. I see leaders with huge egos, excessive pride, and they forget about the homeless person that's going to be over here just sitting outside of McDonald's. They don't care about the juvenile crime. They don't care that our prison budget is doubled at $1.2 billion. So I was telling this guy this morning, I said, man, I bet you, because we're seeing a rise of problems with juvenile behavior. And, you know, a lot of people probably say, well, all these thugs, you can't do nothing about them. But I think that we can do something about these kids. I was one of those kids that misbehaved a whole lot. But I said, man, I bet you if you took two kids that acted up, were fighting, and you put them in a room and said, you need to work on a song. And I know this sounds crazy, but write a song, collaborate together. I bet you they'll probably end up being friends and shaking hands and probably won't fight no more. But we got to start thinking outside the box. And really, a lot of this stuff isn't costing us a lot. You know what it costs to house a juvenile? About $200,000 a year. And they ain't a lobbyist, Brian, lobbying for these things. Nobody's advocating. So that's why I was thrilled when Andy called me. And kudos to Commissioner Brad Turner. By the way, did that TDOC commissioner ever call you back?
Not yet.
They did?
Not yet.
Oh, well, give me their name. We're going to call them out on the radio next week if they don't get back with you. But I like what you said about the economies of scale, because that's how you save money to keep this budget now, where you can talk with these guys and simulcast this in other prisons across the state. Can you elaborate on that some?
Sure. So we, our curriculum, we're working to develop like a standardized curriculum that can be scaled out, rolled out to other states. We're working with Belmont University and Lipscomb University, as well as Integrity Music in Nashville, to basically build a curriculum that can be video-based and taught in one location potentially, or recorded and sent out to be able to scale it to where, you know, everybody across the state in these facilities are experiencing the class, being able to learn about music, being able to apply music, being able to write music. And we saw something developing at a Bledsoe County Correctional. We had a music program there, and we were actually seeing the entire culture of the prison change because of music. Yes. And, you know, if our goal or the goal of these facilities, you know, most people are going to get out.
Yeah.
If the goal is to rehabilitate them, to be able to go out and be productive members of society, you know, what better way to start with their emotional well-being?
Yes.
And through the power of music, change the culture on the inside so that when they walk out of there, they're ready to become productive citizens again.
Yes.
And, you know, that something as simple as a song can do that.
Andy, how can we find out more about Second Verses? And if our listeners want to do a little more research on their own, where would you send them?
So you can visit our website. It's www.2nd, for like secondverses.org. That's 2ndverses.org. You can also just do a simple Google search about the power of music in, and then fill in the blanks, the power of music in dementia, the power of music in healthcare settings, the power of music in psychological things. You know, fill in the blank. There's so much out there, and we just need to start putting this into action and watching what it'll do in our society.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time today. And Mike, I guess one final 30 seconds from you.
Well, you know, people kid me about, I talk about Tupac, the song Dear Mama. You know, we can't play it on the air. I want to play it, but I read the lyrics. One of the reasons we're having these problems in our culture is the lack of fathers, lack of positive male role models. And if folks don't believe this is real, pull up the song Dear Mama by Tupac and listen to what he says about his father. His dad wasn't there, didn't shed a tear, but he found love in a gang. People are going to find where they're welcome. And sadly, I don't think there's enough people trying to address it. And we're here in the Music City capital of the nation. We've got MTSU. I mean, this is something we need to tap. So thank you, Andy, and we'll be in touch, brother.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mike, appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
We will encourage you to check out the podcast at WGNSradio.com. Just look under Rutherford Issues. You can listen back, or if you are a Spotify person, Amazon Music, iHeart, all of those places, just subscribe to your favorite WGNS shows there, as they are also in all of those fine places. Plus, Big G TV on YouTube, Facebook, and X. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here next time.